This shir was prepared and recorded as a zchus for a refuah shleima for Sophia Bella Bas Devora Esther. In shir 35, we're going to discuss the mitzvah of challah. So let's begin with the psukim. In Bamidbar 15, 17 through 21, the Torah tells us, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe limor, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yamarta alehem, v'voachem el ha'aretz asher ani mevi aschem, v'haya ba'achalchem milechem ha'aretz, tarimu siruma la'Hashem, reishisari sosichem chala, tarimu siruma, kisrumas goren, kein tarimu osa, mereishisari sosichem titinu la'Hashem, tiruma l'dorosichem. And we'll translate it from the Living Torah. God spoke to Moshe, telling him, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you come to the land to which I am bringing you, and you eat the land's produce, you must separate an elevated gift for God. You must separate the first portion of your kneading as a dough offering. It must be separated very much like the elevated gift that is taken from the threshing floor. In future generations, you must thus give the first of your kneading as an elevated gift to God. Next, we're going to go to Yechezkel 44:30. The pasuk says, "V'reishis kol bikurei chol v'chol terumas kol mikol terumosichem lakohanim iyeh v'reishis arisosichem titenu lakohen lehaniach biracha el beisacho." All the choice first fruits of every kind, and all the elevated gifts of every kind, of all your elevated gifts, shall go to the priest. You shall give the first portion of your dough to the priest to make a blessing rest upon your home. Previously, we dealt with various dues that the people give to the Kohanim from their produce. In this mitzvah, we are dealing with a portion of dough that is separated for the Kohen from dough that will soon be baked into bread. By doing this, we declare, we show, that the main food that we eat, and bread is considered the main staple, is not just to nourish us physically, but it's also for the soul. As we said in the pasuk from Yechezkel, that giving challah causes Hashem's blessing to rest upon your house. The mitzvah of challah applies equally to both men and women. However, our chachamim, with their great insight, they decreed that it is the Jewish woman's prerogative to separate challah. The Jewish woman is the one who hallows life in the Jewish home, and it is therefore she who makes the bread holy by separating challah. And bread, as we mentioned, is the symbol of man's bodily sustenance. In Mishle 31:27, it says, "Sophia halichos beisach v'lechem atzlus lo sochel," that she constantly looks to the needs of her household and does not eat the bread of laziness. Her actions and care are what make the house into a house of God. The three pillars of a holy Jewish home and family life are represented by challah, nida, and hadlakas haner. We could understand these as the spiritualization of daily food, so bread in particular, the holiness of married life, and the shining light of peace that we only find on Shabbos, and all three of these are entrusted to the Jewish mother. Based on what we have said, it makes sense that the amount of flour that is obligated in the mitzvah of challah is one omer, as an omer is the amount of daily sustenance that one requires. This is the quantity of mun that was given to each Jewish person in the desert. When we entered into Eretz Yisrael, and bread no longer came directly from heaven, we were ensured that Hashem's providence would continue and that we would eat milechem ha'aretz, from the bread of the land. When we eat this bread, we are reminded that our daily bread is a gift from Hashem. So at the end of the day, challah is an expression of hashgacha pratis, of Hashem's individual care that He shows to each of us and our households. On a biblical level, challah only applies in Israel. As we quoted in Bamidbar, it said, when you come into the land, and when you eat the bread of the land. Furthermore, we learn from the Pesukim that we need all of Bnei Yisrael to be in the land, not just a portion of the people. And when the second Beis HaMikdash was established under Ezra, the mitzvah of challah was on a rabbinic level, as most of the Jewish nation remained in Bavel. Today, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we do the mitzvah of Chal just as a reminder. Our Chachamim say that we keep it so that the mitzvah of Chal should not be lost from among Yisrael. Chal teaches us that our daily sustenance comes from God, but even more so, it creates a link between every Jewish home, the people of Israel, and the land of Israel. Rav Hirsch writes that Chal helps us to contemplate with courage the fact that even in the diaspora, the well-being of the individual must not be regarded as being detached from the well-being of the whole spiritually united house of Yaakov. The mitzvah of challah only applies to the five grains, which we know are wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats, as these represent bread, again, the staple of life. The challah obligation only takes effect, as we said earlier, when you have made an omer's worth of dough, again, the amount needed for one's daily sustenance. There are two ways that this measurement could be ascertained. So one way is by using a measure of thumbs per measure of flour. So that's 10 square thumb lengths and width with a height of 3 1/9 thumb measures. Or the amount of flour of which the dough is made is so much that it will fill a vessel whose inside is 6 7/9 thumb measures cubed, so that's length, width, and height. Now, if that sounds somewhat subjective, like certain other measures in the Torah, so remember that this is supposed to be the amount that you eat for a day, so it's not surprising that there could be some subjectivity to this. However, we're going to disregard all of this very soon. We're going to give amounts in weight, which will be easier for us to understand. Another method used to come to the correct amount needed to be obligated in the mitzvah of challah is through water displacement, where you would take 43 large chicken eggs, place them one by one into a vessel which is full of water, and of course the water is going to now overflow into another vessel which you're going to have under the first vessel, and you would add a little more water for the fifth of an egg, and then you would have the amount of water in the second vessel that if the dough would be in that vessel, you know that it would be obligated in the challah when you would reach the height where the water reached to. Now, to make things even more complicated than we just said, the Noda B'Yehuda, the Chassam Sofer, and Rav Yitzchak Dov Halevi Bamberger all say that this amount is enough to obligate yourself to separate challah, but it's not enough to recite a bracha on, and others argue on this point. Rambam mentions that the proper shear of flour should not be measured by weight, since weight is just too subjective, because it could change based on the type of grain, whether the flour was ground in a rough way or a fine way. But however, we do measure by weight, which is much easier for us since weight is uniform. But we still don't know how much weight will be needed to separate challah with a bracha, and there are various minhagim regarding this. So here are some measures that Dayan Grunfeld quotes. He says that Russian Jewry was known to separate challah with a bracha for around 3 pounds of flour. In Germany, the minhag varied from town to town. We find those that would separate challah at 2.5 pounds, but would only recite a bracha on 4 pounds. We find others separated challah with a bracha at 2.5 pounds. And we also find in other towns that they would separate challah at 2.5 pounds, but would only recite a bracha on 5 pounds of flour. In England, he says, the custom was to separate challah at 3.5 pounds with a bracha. And he says that's really basically the Russian custom, but there is a difference between the English pound and the continental pound, and I guess something got lost in the middle, so the numbers sound a little bit different, but really it's just about the same. Now, everything we just said is somewhat confusing, so just to recap what we said, we use a measure of weight today to separate challah. We ignore this whole thumb and egg measurement. The minimum amount necessary to separate challah, based on what we said, is 2.5 pounds. The question then becomes, when is a bracha made? We find that some made it at the minimum of 2.5, and everyone agrees that by 5 pounds you for sure need a bracha. I would say that if you are lucky enough to have a mesorah on this in your family, then you should definitely follow it. Of whatever amount your family makes a bracha on, you would definitely follow that. But if not, it seems to me that most people only make a bracha when they use 5 pounds worth of flour. Of course, as I've said many times, I'm not a rabbi, and I refer you to kashrus organizations such as the OU and Sfarim on this subject. Again, we are just trying to explain and review all the different possibilities. Moving on, how much challah needs to be separated? So according to Torah law, there is no amount. Our Chachamim give a shear of 1/48 for a baker and 1/24 for a regular household. Today, since our observance of challah is symbolic, as we've said, and our Kohanim cannot eat the separated portion, we take off the minimal amount, a very small amount, an olive's worth, and then we burn it. Challah is separated after the dough is kneaded, but if a person forgot, it can be taken off of the actual loaf of bread. And there are times, let's say on Shabbos, where if you forgot to take off challah, you could eat the bread and leave over a portion from which you'll take challah off of that after Shabbos. However, this trick works only outside of Eretz Yisrael. There are all sorts of other halachos regarding challah, so just to touch on a few of them. A yeast dough, a starter dough, that is obligated in challah, being placed in a dough that has no challah obligation, so that would be an issue. You could look into that. Different doughs touching each other, and when they are considered joined, how to take challah from multiple doughs at once, if foods which are obviously for animals are obligated in challah, and they are not, what types of doughs are considered bread, and what types are not. There are situations where you may need to separate challah without a bracha, if the situation is unclear. Dough made with fruit juice, dough made for cooking or frying, special halachos pertaining to matzah, and bread which is baked for Erev Pesach, Shechala Yos B'Shabbos. These are all issues that you can find information on from various Sfarim and Kashrus sites. For one to be obligated in this mitzvah, a Jew must own the dough at the time of kneading, and the owner should remove the challah from the dough. A third party can only remove the challah with the owner's permission. Now, to read the last paragraph inside, the law and concept of challah have sunk deeply into the consciousness of the Jewish people, so much so that the bread baked for Shabbos is generally known as challah, and few outside the rank of Jewish scholars realize that the word they use to designate the Shabbos bread really refers to the portion to be taken from the dough from which it is baked. Furthermore, as intended by our sages, the institution of challah outside of the land of Israel, where, as far as Torah law goes, it really does not apply, has had the effect of creating a strong link between the diaspora and the Holy Land throughout the ages. For hundreds of years, there have been, in many Jewish households, a box into which pious housewives would put their coins whenever they separated challah from the dough on the eve of Shabbos. The contents of these money boxes are collected from time to time and sent to Eretz Yisrael in aid of the Jewish settlement there, often in support of needy scholars who keep up the study of our Holy Torah in the Holy Land. So this concludes Shiur number 35 on challah, and next time we will look into the mitzvos of leket, shikha, and peah.